Okay. Welcome to the Shiur Ramban Parshas Kisavo. The opening mitzvah in Parshas Kisavo is the mitzvah of Bikurim, which describes how the farmer in Eretz Yisrael, or certain parts of Eretz Yisrael, would bring the first fruits to Yerushalayim, to the Beis HaMikdash, and present them to the Kohen. So in Perek Chavav, Pasuk Gimel, right in the beginning of the Sedra, the Torah says, Uvasa el hakohen asher yiyeh bayomim hahem. You should come to the kohen who is in those days. Yomar to'ilov, and you should say to him, Igarati ayom l'Hashem elokecha kivasi el ha'aretz asher nishba Hashem l'avoseinu la'ases lanu. You should make the declaration to him, I am hereby declaring to Hashem that I have come into the land that Hashem has sworn that he's going to give to us. What's the phrase, Asher yiyeh bayomim ahem? You'll come to the Kohen who is in those days, as opposed to whom? So Rashi over here comments, Asher yiyeh bayomim ahem, ein lecha el Kohen shebiyomecha kimoshehu. The only Kohen that you deal with is the Kohen who's there at the time, regardless of his status. Kamoshahu, however he is, he's a good Kohen, he's not such a good Kohen, regardless of his status, that's the Kohen you deal with. It's not immediately obvious what Rashi means by that statement, and the Ramban offers an alternative way of understanding the statement, and then spend some time analyzing what exactly is meant by Rashi. So first off, the Ramban writes, "V'tamel haKohen asher yiyeh bayomim ahem." The Ramban offers his own explanation, that is to say, "El haKohen asher yiyeh sham bayomim ahem." Yomim ahem doesn't mean in that time in history, but literally in those days, during that period of time. What does that mean? Says the Ramban, "Ki hem nesunin la'anshei mishmar k'chol hakarbonos." The bikurim are given to the Kohanim who are on duty that particular week, that Mishmar. We know that there were 24 Mishmaras Kehuna, 24 different divisions of the Kohanim. Each one served in the Beis HaMikdash for a week at the time. And the Karbonos that were brought that week were divided among the Kohanim of that particular Mishmar. So too, the Bikurim that might be brought in any particular week are divided among the Kohanim of that particular Mishmar. So that, says the Ramban, is pshat in the Pasuk. Ubasa la Kohen asher yiyeh bayomim ahem. Not the Kohen who's serving at that time in history. That's not what bayomim ahem means. But rather, bayomim ahem, during that week, the Bikurim are going to be distributed to whoever happens to be on duty that particular week. Lo sheyolichimo Kohen me'iro lahakriv Bikurov. You do not have the option of bringing your own personal Kohen with you in order to receive the Bikurim. Now, why would you think that you could? So here the Ramban, right at the beginning, is putting his finger on a little bit of an ambiguity when it comes to Bikurim. Are Bikurim more like Truma, or are Bikurim more like Karbonos? When it comes to Truma, I have the right to give my truma to whichever Kohen I choose. Ishes kadoshav lo yiyu. We read in the Pasuk, you have the right, you know, your truma can be distributed to whichever Kohen you want. You like this Kohen, you don't like that Kohen. That's your prerogative. Not so when it comes to karbonos. Karbonos, as we spoke about a few moments ago, are divided among the mishmar of that particular week. So is Bikurim more like Truma, or is Bikurim more like Karbonos? The truth is, the Torah calls Bikurim Truma. Pasuk in Re'ei says, Usrumas Yodecha, in referring to the Bikurim. The Bikurim are not offered up as a Karbon, they're simply delivered over to the hands of the Kohen who happens to be there at that time. So it would be very reasonable on a certain level to say, Bikurim are like Truma, I can give Truma to whichever Kohen I wish. So I can schlep any Kohen I want up to Yerushalayim and give him the Bikurim also. I have a friend, Kohen, he's a good friend of mine. So why not, you know, give him the Bikurim, let him come and receive the Bikurim. So the Ramban says the Pasuk is teaching us that at least to some extent, the Bikurim are considered to be more like Karbonos than they are like Truma. Why? because although the Bikurim are not offered up on the Mizbeach, they do have to be brought to the Beis HaMikdash. Right? The Pasuk says, V'holachto el hamokom, asher yivchar Hashem elokecho l'shaken shmo shom. The Bikurim have to be brought to the Beis HaMikdash. It's even debatable whether the Karbana, whether the Bikurim, rather, can be brought to a place like Nov or Givon, where the Mishkan stood in a somewhat less formal place. They have to be brought, it sounds like from the Pasuk, to the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. So even though the Bikurim are not offered up as Karbanos, but in that regard they are like Karbanos, and they're treated like Karbanos insofar as they're divided among the Kohanim Asher Yiyu Bayomim Ohem, the Kohanim who are serving the Mishmar in that particular time. That says the Rabban, that's pshat in that phrase, that the Torah is telling us that the division of Bikurim is among the Kohanim of the Mishmar. You don't have the right to simply give out the Bikurim to whichever Kohen you wish. In this regard, Bikurim are like Korbanos. They're a function of the Beis HaMikdash. And apparently the Chiddush is that anything which is a function of the Beis HaMikdash is divided among the Kohanim of that Mishmar, regardless of whether or not it's considered to be a Korban. Bikurim really is closer to Truma, but it's a kind of Truma that's uniquely linked to the Beis HaMikdash and as such is divided among the Kohanim. That's the Ramban. He then quotes Rashi. V'Rashi kosav, Ein lecha elokoen shiyiyah b'yamecha kumos shehu. So we quoted Rashi a few moments ago. Rashi says there's a different pshat than b'yomim ohem. B'yomim ohem refers not to that particular week, but it sounds like, according to Rashi, it refers to that particular time in history. You go to the Kohen, and that Kohen will handle your Bikurim regardless of his status, regardless of his merits as a Kohen. You know, it is what it is. You deal with whoever Kohen happens to be there at that time, in those days, regardless of his status. The lo havinosis there. So says the Ramban, I'm not sure what Rashi means by this comment. We do have another parallel to this phrase, Asher Yiyeh Bayomim Ohem, and that was a comment which the Torah has just 2 weeks ago in the beginning of Parsha Shoftim. There, the Pasuk says, in Perek Yudzayin Pasuk Tes, if you have a Kipole Mimcha Dover La Mishpat, if you're unsure how to deal with a particular halacha, so go up again to the Beis HaMikdash, Elamakom Asher Yivcha Hashem Elokecha Bo, Uvaso El HaKohanim HaLeviim, V'El HaShofet Asher Yiyeh Bayomim Ohem. You should come to the Kohen, the Levi, the judge, who is the judge in that particular time. And there writes Rashi, again quoting a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, even if this particular judge who's serving on the Sanhedrin is not as qualified as the Dayanim from previous generations, you nonetheless have to listen to him. You just have to deal with the judge who's the judge in your day and age. You can't say, well, you know, this guy isn't as well versed as, you know, the Gedolim from a previous generation. I don't have to listen to him. You do have to listen to him. He's the posek. He's the dayan for that particular, for that particular time. And it's in this context that the Gemara makes the famous statement: Yiftach bedaro, k'Shmuel bedaro. Shmuel was the gadol hadar, but even if the person who's in charge, the head of the Sanhedrin in your day and age, is the equivalent of Yiftach, was not on the level of Shmuel HaNavi, okay, but he's in charge. You deal with whoever is in charge, regardless of his personal qualifications. So says the Ramban, it sounds like Rashi is interpreting HaKohen Asher Yiyeh Bayomim Ohem along the lines of the Shofet Asher Yiyeh Bayomim Ohem. Look, you deal with the Shofet, whatever his personal qualifications are, so too you deal with the Kohen, regardless of his personal qualifications. The problem is, says the Ramban, the two cases are not really parallel to one another. Ki b'inyon hazokein roi lomar el ha-shofet asher yiyeh b'yomim ahem. Says the Ramban, I understand the turn of phrase when it comes to a dayan. You know, a dayan is a position that requires a certain degree of expertise. So, you know, the dayan in today's day and age may not have the level of expertise of dayanim of a previous age, but here comes the Torah and says, "Hashofet asher yia bayomim ohem." It's the position which matters, not his personal expertise, which matters. If you're gonna start getting involved in judging his personal expertise, you'll undermine the whole system. You know, anyone can second guess a dayan and say, you know, you made this decision, but bigger gedolim might have said differently than you. You'll bring down the whole system. You have to deal with whoever you have. Okay, I understand that. Avo b'hakrovas habikurim l'mi yevi'em im lo lakoin asher yiyeh bayomav. But how does that line of thought, says the Ramban, apply to the Kohen who's receiving your bikurim? Give it to the Kohen who's there, regardless of his personal qualifications. What personal qualifications exactly do you need in order to be mekabel the bikurim, to accept the bikurim? You have to be a Kohen. It's not a question of expertise. It's not a question of, you know, this Kohen is not quite as good a Kohen as, you know, the Kohen who was serving in the Beis HaMikdash three generations ago. A Kohen is a Kohen is a Kohen. I mean, what is it Shaykh to talk about his level of expertise? His level of expertise means he just has to be able to receive the Bikurim and do his part. So why is there this question of, you know, he may not be as qualified as previous Kohanim, but nonetheless, HaKohen Asher Yeh Bayomim Mahem, as Rashi says, Kimos Shehu, whatever level, whatever qualifications he has or lacks, we have to deal with him regardless. Why? What's it? You know, what's it Shayich to talk about his qualifications? Says the Ramban, it would seem that what Rashi means over here is spelled out a little bit more in the Sifri, which is the source of Rashi. The Sifri over here says as follows. Uvaso elakoin asher yiyeh, zoi shereb Yossi Aglili omer. Reb Yossi Aglili used to say on this pasuk as follows. V'chitale al daitcha kohen she'eno biyomecha. Who else do you bring it to? The kohen who isn't there at that particular time? Elakoin shehu muchzok v'kosher lecha be'osan hayomim. But rather, says Rabbi Yossi Aglila, what the Pasuk is teaching us is that you bring it to the Kohen who's serving in those days, and you assume that he's a Kohen based on the Chazakah, based on the presumption that he's a Kosher, a Kohen. That is to say, Hayakarov v'nisrachek Kosher. Let's say you bring the Bikurim to this Kohen, and everything seems fine, he thanks you very much, gives you his business card, you know, if you're making a pidyon haben, I'm available, okay, fine. And then, 5 days later, there's a headline in Hamodia that it turns out that this Kohen is really not a Kohen, really he's a cholo, really his lineage is suspect for whatever reason. And you say, och and vey, I just came back from Yerushalayim, now we're going to have to go back to Yerushalayim and give him Bikurim again. So Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, no, you don't have to. That's the chiddush of this pasuk. Uvaso el ha-kohen asher yiyeh bayomim ohem. Bring it to the kohen, who to the best of your understanding at the time is a kohen. It turns out a week later that he's not really a kohen. Okay, no, b'shas ma'isa. When you gave over the bikurim, you understood him to be a kohen. He had a chazakah that he was a kohen. So that suffices. V'chein hu omer. And then Rabbi Yossi Aglili, interestingly and somewhat less literally quotes a pasuk from Koheles, Al tomar ma shehaya shehayomim harishonim hayu tovim me'ela. Don't reminisce about how the good old days were better than these days, right? So Rabbi Yossi Aglili says that pasuk in Koheles, don't reminisce, don't wax, you know, nostalgic about how the good old days were better than these days. That means, you know, if he's considered to be a kohen now, that's it. You know, you don't need anything more than that. It seems, says the Ramban, that what the Sifri is saying is as follows. Shem hikriv bikurim o ola v'karbanos b'kohen shubeches kaskasha. If someone were to bring bikurim to a kohen, or by the same token, he enabled a kohen to bring his karbon, and the assumption all along was that the kohen was a kosher kohen, ula'achar zman nimso shu ben grusha, and then it turns out that the kohen is really not a good kohen, he's a cholol, his mother was really a grusha, a divorcee, so really he's disqualified from serving as a kohen of the Beis HaMikdash. Ha'karbonos ksherim kamo shemuskar b'kiddushin. As the Gemara tells us in Kiddushin, the end of the third perek, the karbonos are still considered to be valid, and that's the halacha which is the Sifri is learning out from this pasuk, el ha'kohen asher yiyeh b'yomim ha'hem. So says the Ramban, and it's not entirely clear whether the Ramban is saying this to argue on Rashi, or rather to interpret Rashi. I think from the language of the Ramban, it could be understood that the Ramban is interpreting Rashi rather than arguing on Rashi. It's not 100% clear within the Ramban. The Ramban first quotes Rashi, and then he says, Lo havinosi, I don't understand Rashi. But then he says, V'chein ro'isi b'sifri, I've seen in the Sifri. Sometimes it sounds, I think, it sounds like what the Ramban is saying is that this is what Rashi really means over here. Again, the Lashon in Rashi is, Ein l'cho el ha-kohen sh'yeh b'yomecha k'mos shehu. Right? You deal with the Kohen k'mos shehu, as he is. Which I think the Ramban is understanding based on the Sifri, is that what Rashi means is, again, this idea, if we assume that the Kohen is a kosher Kohen when we bring him the Bikurim, so there's no need to redo things even after it comes out that the Kohen was, in point of fact, not a kosher Kohen. Rabbi Shavel, in his comments on this Ramban, brings from, has a lot of discussion from the Meforshim on this Ramban. Among other things, he brings from a Kli Chemda in Parshas Emor, where the Kli Chemda asked the following kasha. This notion that a Kohen who brings Karbonos and then turns out to be a non-Kohen, a Cholol, somebody who's not kosher as a Kohen, the fact that we still consider the Karbonos to be kosher is not learned out by the Gemara from this pasuk by Bikurim. It's learned out from a pasuk we're going to learn on Simchas Torah. Borei Hashem Chelo ufo'al yodov tirtze. Right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Moshe Rabbeinu says regarding Levi, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will accept the po'al yodov, whatever his hands bring, understanding that even if it turns out that this descendant of Levi, who's serving as a Kohen, really is not fit to be a Kohen. Baruch Hashem Chelo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blesses even the Cholol, Chelo, Miloshen Cholol, he blesses even the Cholol, and says that the Cholol, b'dieved, after the fact, who brings the karbon is still considered to be a valid karbon. So number one, that's the drasha which the Gemara uses. So why are we all of a sudden quoting this idea from Bikurim? Number two, if there's indeed a drasha by karbonos in general, that when a Kohen brings a karbon, and it turns out that he was really not a Kohen, the karbon is still considered to be kosher after the fact, so then why do we need a special pasuk to tell us that the same halacha would be true with regard to Bikurim? I mean, Bikurim are included in the catch-all concept that the Kohen who turns out to be a Cholol, his karbanos are considered to be good after the fact, but the Eved. So the Kli Chemda answers this question going back to the issue which we raised at the very, very beginning of the Ramban. What are Bikurim? Bikurim are kind of like karbanos, but Bikurim are also kind of like Truma. Let's say I were to give Truma to a person that I always assumed was a Kohen, and it turns out that he's really not a Kohen. They say that the Vilna Gaon throughout his life would always, whenever he would meet a Kohen, he would always give him 5 silver coins in order to perform the mitzvah of Pidyon HaBen on himself. Because who knows, who's to say that the Kohen who performed his own Pidyon HaBen when he was a baby was actually a Kohen. You never know. So the assumption behind, the working assumption behind that story from the Vilna Gaon, I think they say that eventually he encountered a Rappaport, and he thought that the Rappaports were, so strong in their chazaka, their mesora, that they were Kohanim. Once he gave the money to the Rappaports, he stopped, he stopped doing that. But the idea behind that story is that if a person were to give the money for Pidyon HaBen to a person whom he thinks is a Kohen, then it turns out the person is not a Kohen, so the mitzvah didn't work. There's no concept of Baruch Hashem Chelo with regard to Pidyon HaBen. There's no concept of Baruch Hashem Chelo when it comes to Truma. So why should there be a concept of Baruch Hashem Chelo with regards to Bikurim? Again, Bikurim is considered to be a form of Truma. So to that, that's the Kli Chemda answers, that the Torah is teaching us, it's a Chiddush, but the Torah is teaching us that the concept of Baruch Hashem Chelo applies to Karbonos. And because Bikurim are not quite Karbonos, because Bikurim are more in the category of Truma and other Matnas Kahuna, than they are really of Karbonos, so you need a special pasuk to teach us that if the Kohen turns out to be a Cholol at some later point in time, that the Nesinas HaBikurim, the giving of Bikurim, is still considered to be acceptable. That's the Kli Chemda writes on this comment from the Ramban. What would seem to emerge from both of these points, number one, the concept that you can't give the Bikurim to any Kohen that you want, you have to davka bring it up to the Beis HaMikdash and give it to the Kohen who's functioning at that time, and it has to be distributed among the Kohanim of the Mishmar. And from this concept that Baruch Hashem Chelo, the notion that even if the Kohen turns out to be a Cholol after the fact, nonetheless the giving of the Bikurim is still considered to be acceptable, is that as much as the Bikurim have some elements of Truma, in the end of the day, they're considered to be something that's part of the Avoda of the Beis HaMikdash. And this concept of Borech Hashem Chelo, that the Kohen who turns out to be a Cholo, nonetheless his Avoda is considered to be kosher, is a concept that applies to anything which is a function of the Beis HaMikdash, whether it's a Karbon, or whether, like Bikurim, it's a function of the Beis HaMikdash, which nonetheless is not considered to be a Karbon. This is some special concept that the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash is so powerful, or, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the show to go on, regardless of the kashrus of a particular Kohen, as long as you thought he was a Kohen, so that's considered to be sufficient in order for for what one does for him, be it the Karbonos or be it the Bikurim, to be acceptable. Just read a little bit more in the Ramban, where the Ramban comments on the words, he gadati hayom l'Hashem Elokecha, ki vasi el ha'aretz asher nishba Hashem l'avoseinu la'ases lanu. I have declared today before Hashem your God, the farmer says to the Kohen, that I have come into the land that Hashem has sworn to us to give to us. Writes the Ramban on that pasuk, he gadati hayom, bepri hazeh sheheivesi, through this fruit which I have brought, he gadati vehodesi l'shem elokecha sheviyani la'aretz asher nishba la'avoseinu la'ases lanu. I am declaring and I have given thanks to Hashem who brought us to this particular land. What's the Ramban adding in this statement? So here too, Rabbi Shevel in his notes points out that the Ramban is answering the following kasha. He gadati is past tense. Right? The present tense would be magid ani. Right? Ani magid. Why is he using past tense? He gadati hayom l'Hashem Elokecha. He just opened his mouth for the first time. He's going to say in a few moments the parsha of Arami Oved Ovi, the parsha which serves as the basis of the Haggadah Shel Pesach, Arami Oved Ovi, Vayered Mitzrayim, where he's going to declare his thanks to Hashem for having brought us to Eretz Yisrael. But he hasn't said that yet. Rather than saying he gadati hayom l'Hashem Elokecha, the proper tense would have been hareini magid, or agid hayom l'Hashem Elokecha, either present tense or future tense. Well, why the use of the past tense? So says the Ramban, the very presentation of the fruit itself is the Maisa Hagadah, is the act of declaring. He brings the fruit, right? The Pasuk says, you bring the fruit, v'samto v'atena, you put it into a basket, you bring the fruit, and that's higarati. You can talk about past tense because you've presented the fruit already. I think it's very interesting that the Ramban understands that the presentation of the fruit is the act of Haggadah, because of course, as we mentioned a few moments ago, we learn many of the dinim of the Haggadah itself from these parshios, from this parsha of Arami Ovid Ovi, the Haggadah Shel Pesach. We know that a central part of the Haggadah is to tell the story using the presentation of actual items. Bavur Zeh, Osa Hashem Li B'Tzei Simi Mitzrayim. When there was a Korban Pesach, you had the Korban Pesach on the table. Nowadays, we have matzah, we have maror on the table. That's Rabban Gamliel's famous statement. You need three things that you need to mention, and you need to have them, to the extent to which you can, on the table. So that idea may be borrowed from the original Haggadah, that Haggadah means using this item. Higadati b'pri hazeh. I'm presenting this fruit. And that the presentation of the fruit together with the verbalization which is taking place, that's the Haggadah which the farmer is engaging in. In that sense, the Haggadah Shel Pesach, which combines verbalizing with the presentation of something tangible, borrows its methodology from the Mikra Bikurim as presented over here. Okay, Rabbi Chananah ben Akasha Omer, Rotza HaKadosh Baruch Hu,